community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
Now in the studio with me on a Monday afternoon, we've actually got the Tricks. Afternoon, guys, how are we doing?
Hello.
Yeah.
Oh, we've got a room full this afternoon, haven't we? No, it's just... right, before we go any further, let's find out what your names are. From left to right, we've got Joel.
Yep.
John.
Yes.
Ash.
Yep.
Ash, oh, Ash is the cool one. He's a drummer. Yeah. Now, is it true what they say about drummers? No, don't tell me. I'll talk to someone about that in a minute. We've got Elliot over there on the right-hand side. There he is. He's over there with his pedals and his lamp, and there's all sorts going on over there. Now, boys, how long have you been together?
It's been about 3.5 years as the Tricks. But me and John and Ash have played in bands together since we were like really quite young. I went to primary school with John, so
I've
been playing guitar since we were about 10 years old.
Is that where it starts? Because every band's got a history, every band's got this story to tell. How did it actually start?
I guess we started off as a duo.
Yeah.
Like a young Robson and Tyrone.
Slightly. No, that's not a good thing to say.
I guess when we were younger, Joel's dad used to play music a lot. So
yeah.
Well, I should actually say Joel and Ash are brothers, so both their dads.
Our collective dad.
Collective dad played a lot of music, so we just sort of used to mess around really and write some music. And then as we got a bit older, we started listening to bands and things, you know.
Okay, so the pair of you started off, and then the next step would be Ash, yeah?
Yeah, Ash was born.
Yeah. Yeah, Ash was a little bit younger than the rest of us, so we kind of had to force him into becoming a drummer when he was young and impressionable.
Well, weirdly, he was actually born inside a kick drum. That's where his mother gave
birth. On the side of a stage, by a piano. Yeah. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
And then, I guess we were in bands through school, and then... I ended up moving. We went to school with Elliot as well at secondary school, so he was playing in other bands as well. And then when we moved up to London from Hertfordshire, I moved in with Elliot, and we sort of started writing, I guess, writing and mucking around on guitar. And that was kind of the beginning of the Tricks, I guess.
So you mentioned writing. Who writes out of all of you? Do you write all your own stuff? Or?
Yeah, we write all our own stuff. And
is it a collective thing, or have you got a particular process you go through where you go and get loads of beers and get drunk one night and then wake up the following morning with this piece of paper written?
That does happen. generally, one of us comes up with a guitar idea. It tends to be, well, it's always John or Elle coming up with a kind of an initial guitar idea. And then we all come in and kind of add our own parts, and we work collaboratively with like the melodies, the vocal melodies, and the lyrics I kind of have quite a big part in, but then that's also collaborative as well. If somebody's got a good lyric that they can come in with, then so we all kind of work together to make the whole, and that kind of makes the whole sound of the Tricks.
And why did you gravitate towards the instruments that you actually play, or do you play multiple instruments and it works better with these particular ones?
Well, I was singing, and I just sang originally when we first started the band. So John and Elliot were playing guitar. I was just a singer, but then we didn't have a bass player.
Right.
So I kind of picked up the bass. I knew how to play guitar, so I picked up the bass in order for us to kind of push forward with the songwriting process. And then I quickly realised that I was just about capable enough to play bass and sing at the same time.
Yeah.
Just about capable.
He's underselling his ability there.
That's how I started playing bass, and that's kind of why I'm a bass player, lead singer. I think John and Elle have always been guitar players, and then, as we said, like Ash was forced to play drums as a young boy.
You're forced into that?
No, not really. But
you were press gang. You woke up and one day you were a drummer.
We didn't have a drummer in the family, so
it just seemed like the right thing to do.
Yeah.
So why, was it difficult to learn to the drums, or did you just pick it up quite easily?
I don't know. I suppose I picked it up quite easily, but I don't know. I've been playing for 13 years now. So.
Oh, blimey, you must be on the ball then.
I should be better than I am.
Yeah, you should be better than when you started. Yeah, far better, far better.
I was better when I was 10 years ago, when I was 13.
So have any of you had any formal training in guitars and drums? And?
I had guitar lessons when I was a bit younger. family friend used to teach me. And then
Colin Poppleton.
His name is Colin. If he's listening, I think he's in Greece at the moment.
I don't know
what he's doing, but yeah, I was taught by him, and I sort of went to him wanting to learn Oasis songs and things. Yeah. And he was just like, "No, you don't want to play that." And
sort of I don't want to.
Push me into learning more. '70s stuff.
A lot of bands actually don't start off with wanting to play together right at the start. It just sort of gravitates towards something, and they find themselves in a position of high importance. Is it the same sort of thing with you? Did you specifically want to carry on and do this as a career, or were you just doing it because you just enjoyed doing it?
I think when we started the Tricks, we were in a position where we'd left school, and we'd been playing in bands pretty much for fun at that point, and for going out in London, playing a gig, having a drink, meeting people, and that was the kind of idea. But then with the Tricks, we kind of quite quickly realised that there was a potential there for it to be successful, perhaps.
Yeah.
I don't think you should ever really base being in a band on the goal being success, because I think
it's not a written rule, is it?
Yeah, you've got to do it to enjoy playing music.
The success comes out in the enjoyment, I think, anyway.
Yeah. It's just people can see the enjoyment. If that kind of translates to other people, then they'll hopefully be into your music.
So you said when you first came in, you said you were out gigging on Friday and Saturday night. And
yeah.
You're grinning. What have you done? You've done something, haven't you? Come on.
No, nothing too bad. We had our album launch show on Friday night in Camden at the Barfly.
Yeah.
And it was really good. Really heavy night, to be honest.
As it would be,
We had to force ourselves to go to sleep at about 6:30 in the morning.
I got a McDonald's breakfast at 7:30 in the morning and then went to bed.
Yeah,
nice.
It's nice. That's rock and roll for you.
So Saturday was good. You watch when you get to my age, you'll be, "I want a cup of tea and I want to come home and watch some football now." That's all I want.
Well, I was a little bit concerned that I was going to be too hungover to enjoy the England game, but I rallied round
and we lost anyway.
Wow, what was that about?
Yeah.
Might as well have stayed in bed. Now you're going to perform two songs for us this afternoon.
Yeah, that's right.
The first one is one of the tracks off the album that you released a week ago. I want to talk about the album first. Where's the album going?
It's going well. We released it last Monday, so it's been out for a week now. We don't know how many we've sold, which is the scary thing. It might only be two.
Well, we don't. Now, I've taken the liberty to have a look on, because I know it's for sale in all over the place, isn't it? Mostly online.
Yeah.
I've looked on Amazon, and they've only got six left.
Which bodes well.
Which does sound very well, to be honest with you. I would get some more to Amazon, a bit lively if I was you, because if they're sold out with the amount you gave them to start with, that's really, really good.
No, it's true. I mean, this album has taken, it's been a while coming, so there was, people wanted to hear it, people wanted to buy it. So I think the excitement of actually releasing it meant that, people did actually go out and get it, which is great for us, obviously.
Go on. It seems like the overriding reviews we're getting are like, it's a great album for the summer sort of thing.
So, I've checked out the reviews as well. They are fantastic. Yeah. They are really, really good.
So we're happy with everything that's been said, and it's kind of, people have picked up on what we wanted it to be, which was a lively, upbeat record for the summer, something a bit positive rather than a lot of the gloom that's out there.
Well, I noticed you do an MP3 download on there as well, which is really, really refreshing to hear, because obviously the MP3 is not going away. It's the way it is, and it's only going to become more and more and more. The older bands seem to dig their heels in and don't want to do that. And I think they're cutting their nose off to spite their face, really. They're trying to live on their reputation as opposed to selling records.
I mean, I think really you have to kind of appeal to what, whatever your fans want. There's the band called The Heartbreaks, who I think they've just released their second record, and they were in a position where a lot of their fans wanted a vinyl. They wanted a record. They wanted
perfect,
it on record.
Yeah.
So they did that. I think you've got to listen to the people who enjoy your band, and if they want it on MP3, then that's great. If they want a physical copy, the CD or the vinyl, then that's all great. I mean, we don't have any vinyl.
If you've got enough people wanted it, then why not? I mean, I think that's really refreshing that you're here to do a job for your people that are following you and not just...
Yeah, because otherwise we wouldn't be able to do it. You wouldn't be able to sustain what you're doing if there wasn't people who were willing to come to the shows and show enjoyment in what you're doing. So.
Yeah. How are the shows going? Packed? Solid? Hanging from the rafters?
Yeah, it was pretty busy the other night.
Good.
We've got another show tomorrow at the Slaughtered Lamb in Old Street, which is an acoustic show, actually, so this is good practice for for that.
That's what a great cue that was for the song. Now, this is going to be called, well, this is called On Trial, and it's on the new album, is that right?
That's correct, yeah.
Okay, well, tell everybody how they can get hold of this song when you finish playing it. Off you go, boys. Absolutely fantastic, boys. That was fantastic. It really was. You know, that's the first time I've heard one of your singles, but that's a completely different sound than I thought you were going to play.
Right. That's a good thing, isn't it?
It is a very good thing. So catching people off guard is really, really good because it makes them pay attention a little bit more.
It's all about variety.
It is. That's what it's all about. It is. It is all about. I thought you was going to be a little bit more rocky.
Spice of life.
Strip down.
Now, if you go to thetricks.co.uk, that's thetricks.co.uk, you can see links there as to where the boys are selling their albums. I mean, there's iTunes, and I mean, it's all over the place. Just go to thetricks.co.uk if you want to buy one of their songs. Now, the second song you're going to perform for us this afternoon is called Gilgamesh, and we had a quick chat about this. How did you come up with the name Gilgamesh?
Well, this is an interesting one because actually, you know more than me about Gilgamesh. So ordinarily, you know, we've been asked the question before what the song's about, and usually I've got the upper hand.
Yeah.
But this time I don't. So yeah, Gilgamesh was originally thought about. It's the Epic of Gilgamesh, which is a really ancient poem, which was kind of collated from different tablets, right? Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. In the Iraxan, they found them.
Yeah, and part of the reason, the lyrics behind the song are kind of about travelling and seeing the world and kind of opening your eyes to new places and new people and new experiences. And Gilgamesh kind of summed that up for us. So it's a kind of metaphorical kind of, you know, it's not specifically about the Epic of Gilgamesh, but this kind of idea of a kind of worldly story was the idea behind it.
Which is the Epic of Gilgamesh.
It is
fantastic. If you ever get a chance to research the tablets, have a look at the tablets. You'll be there for ages.
No, it's a very interesting thing.
And amazing.
Yeah, you'd be surprised. Not many people know about it. So, you know, is this the opportunity for you to speak about your writing?
Well, no. You've talked me into it. No.
Yeah, go on. We want to hear.
I wrote an occult book. And every time you say occult to somebody, they go, oh, look out, he's got a big magic wand, he used to be Harry Potter, and, you know, he goes to Hogwarts, and, you know, he flies a broomstick. That's not the case. Occult means secret, that's all it means.
Yeah.
And secret as in it's not common knowledge, not secret as in it's being kept secret. Mm. It's hidden knowledge that we used to have. So Gilgamesh is a really, really, really good word.
Yeah.
And it's like a lot of Freemasonry symbols. The people that know will know.
Yeah,
and they'll go, hold it, and the people that don't know it will go right over their head. This.
So that's very interesting. That's, you know, that's a great thing to have written a book about.
Well, it took me nearly 10 years up to date, 10 years of research. So
wow.
it's a long, 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 long trek to get there because it's not easily available. It's far easier now with the internet,
of course, yeah,
than it ever was before. Mm. But you get writers like Zachariah Sitchin and Graham Hancock and what have you, they've spent their life on it. Hancock spent 25 years on the history of the Ark of the Covenant, for example, and it's all tied in. Yeah. The story goes back thousands and thousands and thousands of years. It is a fascinating subject.
Wow.
So you've called it by an occult name.
Well, yeah. Great.
No, that's good. That's good.
A secret name. I think the thing with, like, you know, we're writing pop rock music, which isn't particularly viewed as being something which is intellectual, I think. And it's not. I'm not saying that our songs are particularly intellectual, but we try to have a little bit more depth than just it being about, you know, a boy meets girl or something or other. This is an example of that. But then again, we do have the songs about us going out and getting drunk as well. So
that's a fair dues. Yeah, light and shade.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So you're going to perform Gilgamesh on air, yeah?
Yeah, sure.
Lovely.
Now allow me to say a long goodbye. I love this town, but I'll leave her behind. I slip away in the middle of the night to the lights of the west. I flip the switch and I take a breath. I chase a myth, I'm not Gilgamesh. Fluorescence for the very first time. I've opened my mind. The world outside. Stepping by the ticking noise in my head. Drunk and dizzy, bruised and busy in the city. Now I've opened up my eyes. The world outside made me realize. Been waiting all my life to open up my eyes.
Good. Yeah, again, you fit the nail on the head. Yet again.
Thank you.
Very, very good. Very good. And you've never had any training as a singer at all, or?
I had about 3 singing lessons when I was about 11 years old, and it went dreadfully. They made me sing in falsetto, and it was kind of singing like angel voice, something awful. And
that's also on the album, by the way.
Yeah. That's track number 3, actually. That's the next single. So yeah, I kind of quickly got stopped doing that.
And
started learning guitar instead.
Well, no, it sounds very good. Thank you very much. Very clean voice.
We've had a lot of. It's all about experience, I think. You can be trained, and that's great. I mean, the way that we've kind of learned to play is by going out and doing it. You know, me and John have been playing gigs together for so many years now that you kind of learn by doing that, and you improve. Or not on every instrument that you do play. So that's how we've done it.
The biggest thing they teach you when you go for singing lessons is the breathing. It's just you seem to have that off pat anyway, which you would do with so much experience.
Yeah. I mean, I can remember gigs when I was 18 where I was dreadful at singing because you know you have to approach it in the right way. You know, I used to drink a bottle of JD on stage and then not be able to sing. That's the way it was. Now it's strictly herbal tea.
Don't tell me about that. Well, boys, thank you so much for coming in and talking to us this afternoon.
Thanks for having
us. It's been a really, really good interview. Really, you've caught me right off, Peggy, because I thought you were going to be very, 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 very rocky.
That's good. We like to surprise people.
That's really good. So once again, don't forget, if you want one of the singles that the boys have released, go to thetricks.co.uk and all the singles are on there and you can follow them to their iTunes and Amazon. Are you on Facebook?
We are. We're on Facebook. It's facebook.com/itsthetricks.
Blinding. All right, well, I'll put a link to that. We've recorded this. We'll put this on our website anyway.
Awesome.
And we'll put a link to that. So if anybody wants to follow the tricks, you can just do it via Phoenix FM. Boys, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Community Radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.